Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we are at last coming to the final verse in the book of Galatians. We have been teaching through this epistle on the Beacon Broadcast since Tuesday, May 13, 2008. Well over a year now, hasn't it, that we have been pursuing this particular study, or maybe just a little bit over a year. We'll not finish the final verse today, but we will within a day or two. We remember that Paul's reasons for writing this epistle was to counteract the influence of certain Jewish evangelists who were preaching a gospel of works, specifically the necessity of circumcision for salvation, and by psychological manipulation, and by slandering the Apostle Paul, they pursued their goals. Paul expressed deep disappointment with the foolishness and immaturity of the Galatian believers. Paul patiently reinforced the doctrine of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, even as he instructed the Galatian believers in godly Christian living in response to saving grace. And now, after six chapters to expose the error and to clarify the truth, he's come to the conclusion of his task and to the closing benediction found in verse 18 of chapter 6. The second benediction in this chapter. It's a short one. It just simply says, "Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." Paul concludes as he began, emphasizing the grace of God, an understanding in itself which would nullify the inroads of the Judaizers if people would meditate upon what that word grace means. Don't you find, as I have, that there are a lot of Christians who use the word grace, they claim to believe in grace, and yet they really don't understand grace, and in their muddled thinking, many times, their concepts about grace are actually detrimental to grace. Just an understanding of grace itself would have solved the whole Galatian controversy. Why? Because grace is God's unmerited favor. If salvation is by grace, listen to me now, if salvation is by God's unmerited favor, then there is no room for human effort or achievement to be mixed with grace in order to achieve salvation. If it is grace, then it is not by works. And if you mix in works, it is no longer by grace, which is exactly what Paul says in the course of the Galatian epistle. So, let's look at this text, the blessing of God, how Christians need to develop a greater understanding of and appreciation for the blessing of God. He says, "Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." In looking at this closing benediction, we first of all recognize that benedictions were standard in all of Paul's epistles. Paul closed every one of his 13 epistles with a benediction, and several of his epistles contain more than one benediction. What is a benediction? It's a pronouncement of blessing upon his readers. Or when a preacher does it in a church congregation, it's a pronouncement of blessing upon his hearers, a pronouncement of blessing upon those who have gathered together to worship. And that's what Paul is doing here when he says, "Brethren," obviously restricting it to the people of God, Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. It's more than a prayer. He's not praying for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to be with their spirit. He is bestowing that blessing as he had authority to do as an apostle of Jesus Christ. It's interesting that though benedictions are standard in all of Paul's epistles, they are not necessarily standard in epistles written by other men. This seems to be not a uniquely Pauline feature, but a predominantly Pauline feature. And Paul employs three basic forms of benediction, with some variations in each of the three categories. His simplest benediction is simply, "Grace be with you, Amen." His expanded form of benediction, the one we find here in Galatians 6:18, connects grace with Jesus Christ in very specific ways. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Not just simply, "Grace be with you, Amen." We find that five times, actually. Colossians 4:18, 1 Timothy 6:24, Titus 3:15, and a slightly expanded version of the simple one in Ephesians 6:24 and 2 Timothy 4:22. Ephesians 6:24 says, "Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." And 2 Timothy 4:22, "The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen." Very similar to the one here in Galatians, but with the wording turned around just a little bit. So there are some benedictions that are very simple. There's some that are slightly expanded in connecting the grace with the source of grace, namely Jesus Christ, and seven times Paul uses an expanded benediction. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all men." You'll find something similar in Romans 16:20, Philippians 4:23, 1 Thessalonians 5:28, 2 Thessalonians 3:18. The slightly changed version in Philemon 25 and here in Galatians 6:18 says, "Be with your spirit," rather than "be with you." "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you in Christ Jesus," Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16:23. And then there is the longest benediction. Remember, we've got three categories: simplest, number one; expanded, number two; and then the longest, number three, which is only found one time in 2 Corinthians 13:14. And that employs a Trinitarian formula: "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen." That one has been borrowed, I think, more than the others for utilization by preachers to pronounce a benediction upon people at the end of a service, the Trinitarian benediction. I read it again: "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen." Well, let's analyze this just for a minute, this benediction. What is our greatest blessing? Paul is pronouncing blessing upon these people. That's what a benediction is, the pronouncement of a blessing. And what is the greatest blessing that Paul or anyone could bestow upon another? What would you think of first and instinctively if I just came up to you and said, "What would you consider to be your greatest blessing?" Would it be money? Material possessions? Would it be health and long life? Would it be the love of family and friends? Would it be a peaceful, trouble-free life? Well, what does Paul identify as the greatest blessing? Grace. "Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." That's what he bestows upon them. And what is grace? We already mentioned it. Unmerited favor. God's gift to the undeserving. God's enablement at our point of need. God doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. That's what grace is, and that's the greatest blessing. Our greatest initial need is for God's grace. Our greatest continuing need is for God's grace. We are rich with blessing when we are recipients of God's grace. We are impoverished beyond description when we have little of God's grace. I say again, what is your greatest blessing? My family and I vacation at a certain spot every year, have at least for more than 20 years. Lovely spot. We enjoy going there. number of vacation homes there. And there's one near the house where we stay that we pass frequently because we go by it in the car and we go by it on foot, sometimes go by it on bicycle. And it has a sign hanging on this vacation home that says, "Another blessing." And I'm always a little bit conflicted as to how I should think about that, how I should respond to that. On the one hand, I have to be grateful that here are people who acknowledge that the fact that they have a vacation home in a lovely spot is a blessing from God. It is something that they have received as a favor from God, a benefit from God. They evidently are Christians, and they are acknowledging that the source of their bounty is God Himself. On the other hand, it almost sounds like they count their blessings in terms of material things. This is another blessing. It makes you wonder, where are the others? Have they got a home in the mountains? Is that a blessing? And now they've got one at the coast, and that's another blessing? Are there automobiles, their other blessings, and so forth? What, when they hang a sign upon a house and call it another blessing, what do they consider to be the greatest blessings of life? Obviously, everything that we have that has any value to it whatsoever in time or eternity is a blessing and is a gift from God. So we ought to acknowledge that, and we commend these people for doing that. But what is our greatest blessing? Is it houses, money, material resources, or is it the favor of God? The pouring out of God's grace, God's favor, undeserved, God's enabling to enable us to do what we can never do for ourselves. That, I assure you, is the greatest blessing. And that's why when Paul blessed the Galatian churches, he didn't say, "May God give you riches. May God give you wealth. May God give you health. May God give you a long and peaceful and carefree life." To hear some people tell it today, that's what God intends to do. That's what we should expect from God. That's what we ought to consider to be our greatest blessings. That's not what Paul indicates by his benediction. "Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Grace is the greatest blessing. And what is the source of this blessing? Well, it's so obvious we hardly need to mention it. We already have, actually. But the answer is God. God is the source of grace. But a more comprehensive answer would be our Lord Jesus Christ, because Paul attaches grace here specifically to God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, when he says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Because it is Christ who secured God's blessings for his people by his incarnation and his death upon the cross. Someone has defined grace in an acrostic form as God's riches at Christ's expense. And Christ has purchased our grace. It comes to us freely, but it wasn't free. There was a price, and Christ paid it. Christ deposited a huge treasure, you might say, in our bank account in heaven, and God, therefore, is free to bestow upon hell-deserving sinners who ought to receive his wrath, who ought to be judged for their rebellion against him. He is free in Christ Jesus to pour out benefit and blessing out of the storehouse of grace that Christ has purchased on our behalf. Until next week, this is Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.